Named after Foxy Brown. This is episode 16 of the All International K-Pop Podcast, and I feel great today because I just woke up. lucky woman. I woke up 12 hours ago after going to bed 5 to 6 hours before that, so I'm very tired. I should have taken a nap, but then I noticed it was already close to recording time. I'm like, I'm not going to be the person that oversleeps. So,
yeah, you know, did you notice that we're in opposite time zones? It's like 9 p.m. for you, 9 a.m. for me.
Yeah, because this is daylight savings time. Yeah. Which is always wonderful.
Yep, it's easy for me. It's daylight savings time. It's a lot easier. I don't have to think. All right. So, we have a couple of items here for you guys. We have news, we have new releases, we have, I don't know. We don't have free talk, or do we?
We do have a free talk. I don't know how you didn't notice it, but...
Oh, again, I didn't see right at the very bottom. Okay. So, all right. Let's start with the news first. And go ahead, Dee.
So, the top piece of news is over the departure of A-Pink member Yukyung. Like, I won't pretend like I know who Yukyung is, but I...
Yeah, well...
I know A-Pink is important to some people, so
yeah, they're important to me.
I thought I would point that out, but what's been going on is there appears to be a bit of controversy. Like her father doesn't seem to be letting her go softly or sweetly into the night, and he is taking issue with A-Cube's version of the story about why she left. And he's basically been threatening the label into, if you guys, you know, don't apologize and clear things up and put her back in the group, like, we're going to let everyone know how this really went down. Mm-hmm. And he's been going a little crazy on Twitter, saying that, complaining about the press releases they've been given to the media about why she left and how she left.
That's right.
He's talking about how they took advantage of her.
Or maybe of him.
Yeah, because he has money. And they kind of both let it slide for the sake of A-Pink getting popular. And they basically said, you know, she got what she wanted, which was to leave. But he's saying, like, that's not how this was at all.
That's true, right?
Mm-hmm. But the AQ people are like, look, there's nothing left to say about the story. She wanted to leave. We got together, negotiated something. She signed an agreement, and there's no way she's coming back to A-Pink. So, like, that just sounds like a terrible situation. All around.
It's terrible. They say that Yukyung isn't pretty enough. She's not talented enough. That's how it is, right? But That's what the people have been saying. Okay, and, you know, she's rich. The only reason she got into the group is because she's rich. She's daddy's little girl. Okay, yeah. That's what they've been saying. I'm not even sure about that. Because I may like A-Pink, but I don't know the individual members. That's the thing. Because, you know, I'm not into getting to know each person individually, especially their names. I'm so bad at that.
It really seems like a case of... And, of course, after... a member leaves, especially if it's not a popular member, like, the fans of all of the other members of the group are just like, They'll, in general, they hardly ever say, like, this person was so important. Unless they were. Like, unless it was the absolute face and talent of the group that left. But they'll call the person selfish for leaving. They'll say,
Yeah.
like, there was bad blood. And there will
Oh.
always be reasons invented to make
Yeah.
the departing member look bad, which could be true. I don't know. You don't know what's true from
The
what
reason
isn't.
they gave for her leaving is that, she's supposed to go to school. She's supposed to go to college. That's why she left. But then her father comes back and says, no, it's not true. She was kicked out. I mean, because probably when people found out that she left for school, they automatically assumed that she got preferential treatment because she was a celebrity. And of course, that hurt her.
That's terrible. Because, I mean, first of all, celebrities get into college all the time, and a lot of them do the work while going to school. So it's weird to me that a person with, I mean, especially since AJ didn't even really leave to go to Columbia, he came right back. So it does sound fishy to begin with, but a lot of celebrities, especially the ones that got into the top tier schools, it's always complained that they got preferential treatment for entrance.
Look, she's rich. Her dad is like a steel magnet. She doesn't even need the help of her group to go into a good college.
And I think
They have money.
what people will
She didn't go
inevitably
anywhere.
be upset about too is like you're already rich. Like you're doing this because like being an idol is like a toy that you want or an expensive gift that you want. Whereas these other kids who may not necessarily have the kind of money, who are probably middle to lower class kids are like this is like blood, sweat, and this is life for them. Like outside of music, they'd probably have nothing. Whereas you could just walk away, and at the end of the day, you'll still be rich. So
True.
there's probably a bit of animosity there. And
That's how it is, right? Maybe that's a reason. But then again, you'd wonder, her dad is a CEO or something of his own company, right? Why would someone like that even resort to Twitter?
I mean,
Goodness,
I think
right?
he genuinely has beef with the company, and it's your little girl. Like, why would you not defend her?
True.
Especially if you feel that the things that are being said by the company are obvious lies or known to you to be lies. And then it's possible too that things were being said about her in the media or by netizens, and he felt that he had to defend her.
He was so upset because apparently this is what I've been reading from the various places that I visit online, whenever I have the time. They say that Yukyung's dad paid for a pink store before they were popular. Okay, wow. Is that a donation?
I guess they're treating it like the same way they treat sponsors, probably.
Or is that an investment? And then, a pink suddenly became popular. So we don't have a need for this person anymore. We're gonna kick her out of the group.
It's possible.
So bye.
It's an ugly business.
True. But if I were her dad, I wouldn't go to Twitter. I'm just gonna sue their asses off because I'm rich.
Like, just going to Twitter was probably for like a desire to talk to the fans without the whole press release thing. Because, your Twitter account, people follow you because you're so and so's dad. The same way that, what's his face's dad,
Who?
from Beast, Dongwon, I think, the one whose dad is, like, professor or something, some intelligent
Really?
guy, yeah.
So
People like
they follow him?
hang on his every word. Yeah.
Oh.
So the second.
Kind of like before you go to that, I remember Siwon's dad, right? He's on Twitter as well.
Yeah, he's not.
There are funny things that he
He's
says.
gotten people in problems. But
Yeah.
the second piece of news is about Speak. I think we mentioned in the last episode, or we alluded to it somehow, that they were going to
We
be
did.
on Immortal Song 2. You must know that it was awesome.
Yes.
It was only three of them, but it was
Yes.
awesome.
It was awesome because I linked you to the video,
Yeah.
and unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch it on TV because I forgot about it. Because normally I watch Immortal Song, right? Because I have KBS World. But I forgot about it. And I was especially looking forward to this episode because it was a Lee Moon Say special, and I love Lee Moon Say. Okay, they sang some, I forgot the title of the song. Is that Moonlight or oh man, I forgot the title of the song. But they did really well, and they had a different take on the song.
Yeah, they did.
It was, yeah, it wasn't how Lee Moon Say really, you know, did it originally. It was so different. And it's really good. And there were only three of the girls there.
Yep.
Where are the others?
Boro, Bohyang, and someone. I always lose it when it comes to the other girls' names and faces, matching the name with the face.
But they're good.
Yeah, it was. We have two bits of news about Will and Jaden Smith's film After Earth, which releases in the U.S. at the end of May, I think. If you don't know what the movie's about, father and son team crash land on Earth after I think several hundred years have passed, and it's now a completely wild planet where the animals and plants apparently have all evolved to kill people. I don't know, they have some dodgy accents in the trailer. I don't know what's going on, but Will apparently handpicked Jay Park to do a song for the ending credit sequence of After Earth.
Okay, that's good, but that's for the Korean release,
of
right?
Of course. It's called the song is called I Like to Party, and there's a version of the trailer with the song in it. It does not match the trailer at all. I don't even know why they did that. But
the title doesn't even match, okay? I Like to Party, After Earth.
Yep.
Okay.
But there's a connection for Will in that he says the main producer of the movie is his brother-in-law, who is Korean, and
Will Smith has a Korean brother-in-law?
Wait. His brother-in-law's wife is Korean, sorry. His... I'm so confusing. Yeah. His wife's brother is married to a Korean.
Okay.
So
there you go.
While they were putting the film together, she was suggesting a lot of Korean artists that could work with them, and apparently one of the people was Jay, and he decided to choose him. The other After Earth related story is that Will and Jaden Smith went to YG headquarters.
Yes, some, so I heard.
Mm-hmm. And they hung out with YG himself and the artists that were there, and there's pictures with all of them if you need to see that. There was a Top is in this picture, surprisingly.
Yes, he was there, and he's all dressed up.
I didn't expect him to still be alive. Shut up, you. Apparently, Jaden and G-Dragon played each other's music for the next person, which is, you know, fitting, because their music is both dull. And,
did you really say that?
Did I just say that? It is dull. I've listened to his songs. They're dull. And there's the possibility that the two of them could work together in the future. So if that's a thing that you're into,
go for it. I don't really care, but do it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool if they made music together.
It would be great,
like,
though.
If
yeah.
they did, if they did a,
are always good.
If they did a thing where the song was mixed in Korean and English, and it was like one thing they don't usually do is like a worldwide release for the song. It'll usually be like, okay, there's an American artist on this track, but it's just in Korea, on the Korean artist's album, or you'd have a Korean artist on an American artist track, but it's like just on the Korean version of the album. And I think it would be cool if it was on both people's albums for one, and it was a worldwide release. Like, they did a music video for it and everything, but I doubt that would happen, because it's not, K-pop isn't at that kind of level where...
Not
yeah, the yeah. big stars will co-sign certain people, but to have them, like, have the main music video and all of that, I don't know.
Yeah, but what about 21 and Will I Am? Okay, isn't that a global release thing for 21 too?
It's not a good song, though.
That's the sad part. Okay, that's the sad part, but it is one of those things that it's a global release. It gets released all over the world. It's not just in the Korean version. But unfortunately, the song is not good.
Yep.
Reality sucks. But anyway, and apart from GD and Jaden Smith, I think Will Smith said that he wanted to work with Psy. Is that right?
It sounds interesting. If that's the case.
Yeah. I don't know how it will turn out to be, but okay, it does sound interesting. So anyway, what's next?
Some serious news.
This is why is this even here? Tiara subgroup N4, right? Tiara N4 or number 4, and Chris Brown made a love call.
Yeah, apparently he saw the video, and it seems like he had earlier invited them to one of his shoots, but they had to do Dream Concert, so it didn't happen. So he said that they should collaborate. I wanted to meet up with them after his concert in San Jose. And so because he said that, they were like, hey, let's drop everything. And they're supposed to fly to LA tomorrow to meet with Chris Brown. Like, I mean, he does have a certain amount of money and sway within the industry, so you never know what he's going to do exactly with them. But it said he was impressed with the styling of the group.
Styling?
Yes.
Okay. That's just crazy. And the styling is so...
Ugh. It's probably because we're used to this sort of thing, but the sound and the choreography, which is always like what's talked about whenever international music stars see K-pop.
Maybe.
The way they incorporate hip-hop and the look of the whole thing is very different from the way it's done in the U.S. and elsewhere.
Yeah, from the way it's done in the U.S., it's different, but this level of messy is... normal in K-pop.
Well, Chris Brown is a pretty messy guy, so.
Yeah, but that's very interesting, right? And where's the connection?
Danny, I think, is who, like, was added to Tiara, but wasn't there for a while. She's apparently some sort of acquaintance of Chris Brown. I don't know.
How in the world did that happen? Okay, so Danny is a minor, right?
Is she still? I know she was.
Yeah, when she started with Tiara, when she started training with Tiara, she was really young. So how in the world did she become acquaintances with Chris Brown?
She could be a younger sister of a friend.
Maybe. Okay. I let that slide.
Wow. Okay.
Right. What's next? Sex assault charges dropped against Park Shihee.
Yeah, we did talk about this before. The accuser A, for unknown reasons, dropped the sex assault / rape charges against Park Shihu, and he had countersued her for the sex assault charge, and he dropped that as well on the same day. So it seems as though there was some kind of agreement with the first, because I forgot there were two victims, but with the first victim,
no,
the second one, I don't know, but he's still suing.
Someone got paid off, basically, right?
More than likely.
Right.
It's always a level of shadiness whenever I hear that rape charges have been dropped and there's no discussing of the terms and all of that. It always seems like either a payoff or intimidation off. One of the two.
You know, this is the girl who sued him for rape, right? And she's a wannabe celebrity. And then there's this other guy who is a trainee actor. Or maybe he's some unknown actor. I don't even know.
He's referred to as K.
So messy, these letters. You can make alphabet soup, right? So I'm guessing someone got paid off here. But the sad part is we don't even know if it's true or not. If, you know, there was really rape. But Park Shihu's image is gone down the drain.
Like, there's always the possibility that it is how he said, that it was consensual sex.
Maybe.
Always possible.
Would never know.
But in general, people tend to believe the guy more than they do the girl. So, in a case where both of them drop the charges, it seems a little more suspicious.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I don't know who to believe, but it's really sad. Because if it isn't true and it was consensual, then good luck to his ruined career. But if it was true and he got away scot-free, then poor girl. So sad.
Yep.
Even if he got paid off, doesn't really mean justice, right?
That's true. The last bit of news, because we have a lot of music to get to and a possibly very lengthy topic. The last bit of news is that the former leader of Jewelry, Park Jung-ah, is finally leaving Star Empire, which if you...
Wow, after years.
You don't remember, is the home of Jewelry and Jaya and Nine Muses.
And So In-young.
I don't even remember if she's still
or
there.
Or not anymore.
But she's been acting for the past few years. She has not really been working on solo music. So she's leaving to go to a bigger entertainment company, WM Company. And she also apparently was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Which is out of the blue. But she said that it says that she decided to undergo surgery right away. And is in the process of recovery. So I'm guessing it was caught in an early stage. And hopefully they managed to remove all of it.
I hope she's okay. I hope she's fine. And I hope it doesn't come back again.
Yep.
Yeah. So good for her. She's now with a new agency. New life. More money. That's great. Because I know Star Empire isn't really rolling in the money, right?
Not yet. They need two groups to head it off all the way. And then they'll be there.
Good luck. Zaya and who else? Oh, forget about Nine Muses. Zaya has potential.
Yeah, I mean, Kwang Hee has been, and we got married. He's probably famous at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at least a lot of people, not a lot, but more people know Zaya than Nine Muses. That's how I see it. Anyway, enough of the news. We're done with that because we do have a lot of music to go through.
Like, this is what happens when we take so much time off. But, and it's because as opposed to the last times, not only did people I like come back, but I actually kept up with what was coming out, even though this is still but a small sample size of all the music videos that were released.
Yeah. No, I used to do it a lot better, but I'm not, you know, not complaining. But this is really good, D, because this is a lot of music. And we even have oldish stuff, like old, like, 2 months ago stuff, or maybe is it just last month? Because we will start with G-Dragon.
It's some stuff in April, but April was only 2 weeks ago.
Seems so long ago.
G-Dragon released a new single called Michigo, which it has an interesting visual style. The video, that is, he's a kid with tremendously huge feet, and you know what they say about guys with big feet. But
they have big shoes, see.
They have trouble finding shoes. But the song itself is, like a lot of his stuff lately, doesn't move me.
Yeah, it's messy. I forgot about it. So, no love for G-Dragon for me this time.
Do whatever.
The music video, the only thing that I've noticed is his feet. Ugly feet. Big, scary McDonald's feet. And they made it seem that
Yeah,
way,
that
right?
was on purpose. To fit with the theme.
No love for me because this is still electro something.
Sure.
GD for you.
So we...
I
don't have anything else to say about the song. The next song is one that I just heard. Choyang Pil with Hello, featuring Verbal Jint, which
yes,
mm-hmm. Is a really nice sounding rock song, and it too has a very interesting video, probably the most compelling of the ones I saw on this list, where you have a young kid who gets a new neighbor, and the sight of the new neighbor moves him into grown-up territory is what I think the video was trying to say. That as soon as he met her, he stopped being like a child, gave up childish ways, put those behind him. And I don't know.
It's cute, right? And there's a good-looking guy there.
That's all you care about.
And I just found out, yeah, of course, I care about that, and that's all I care about. I'm not going to deny that, D. His name is James Lee McCown. He's a Korean-American model, and he has long hair. It reminds me of Steve Aoki.
Yeah.
He has that look. I can see it. And the video is cute, right? Yeah. It's very interesting, and it's adorable, too. It's like one of those 80s movies, if you watch those, because I like watching those old movies, like Weird Science.
It's very much like an old 80s teen romantic comedy type vibe.
Yeah.
This
is Choi Young Phil. He's back. He's a legend. And he also has another song, which is good. It's called Bounce. Okay?
So, the Lin Files, we have a song called Breakable Heart that features bass Junhyung, which Noel has a problem with. I don't.
Yeah.
Because I like Junhyung and Lin. I think they've worked together before.
I think they have. I mean, it's not that I have a problem with Junhyung. It's just
I get it. Like, the song doesn't really need a rap part.
It doesn't need a rap, okay? It doesn't need a rap part. The song is good. I like it. I mean, I told you earlier, I like the song, but why is there a rap here? It doesn't need a rap part. Maybe it needs a rap part because it needs to appeal to the younger kids.
Yeah, that's where you get the money from.
Okay, I like Lin. She sings very well, and apparently she has a boyfriend. She's dating someone.
Yeah, apparently there was some backlash about that.
Yeah. They're not too happy about it because the guy is considered sexual criminal, like that other dude. Yeah. Who's that other guy? Go Young-wook? Something like that.
I didn't look into why there was a controversy. I was just like trying to figure out who the boyfriend was. It's I think the lead singer from MC The Max, Lee Soo, which I was like, oh, okay, so he's not an idol. It's not a big deal. And I closed it. And apparently, as I look at it now, there were allegations that he brought a 16-year-old prostitute back to his apartment in 2009. So yeah, I could see where that's not a good look for her. Because I think people are upset because they're concerned with how it reflects on her that she's dating someone who is basically a sex offender, though it seems like there were no charges.
Yeah, there you go. Sex offender. Thanks for that. I mean, I was trying to think of the name. Yeah, he is apparently a sex offender, and they weren't too happy about it. And they're giving her hell because of that.
Yeah, it just has been nonstop since they announced their relationship. And it seems like they've been friends for a long time, and that developed into this relationship. But yeah, it doesn't look good.
No, not going to look good for anyone.
I totally understand. Anyway, it feels like it has to feel like hell because you care about this person, and yeah, they have done something wrong, but if someone apologizes, you expect, although it's one of those unforgivable crimes almost, if the person makes a conscious effort to change, you don't necessarily expect that they will be forgiven, but you expect that people will acknowledge that they're not the same person they were when that happened. But we don't know his private life, so
no. So I wish them the best. Okay, it's their relationship. It's their life.
Hope it works out.
I hope it does work out.
Because that's a lot. I don't know if I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. But you know, it's their life. So I hope it works out for both of them.
Yep.
Hmm? All right. So anyway, next song is "Shiny" with "Why So Serious." With the Batman reference here. Joker.
I did not like it. Is it okay to say I didn't like it?
That's fine. I mean, it reminds me of Juliet again.
Does everything? So, I think...
It does.
Oh, why have I forgotten this boy's name? No, Minho? Not him.
Damon?
No, the one that's not in the video.
Who?
The lead singer.
Shin Sekyung's ex-boyfriend.
Oh my god, is it really that bad? Jonghyun. I think the last time we tried to talk about him, I just called the wrong name or pronounced it wrong. Yeah, he was in a car accident and had to have surgery and recover from it, so he's not in the video. The video takes a lot of J-rock, J-pop inspirations in terms of the styling and all of that, and the sound of it to a degree. One of the things that is extremely disappointing is that it's been almost 5 years since SHINee has debuted, and Minho has not improved at all. Or maybe he has, and he just started from such a terrible place that I didn't notice.
God, that's
but
really
he's
bad.
He's an awful rapper. He sounds literally like the worst of J-pop boy band rappers.
My God, has it been 5 years? Goodness, wow. Oh, God. SHINee will forever be replay for me, and Taemin would forever be a child in my eyes. So now, looking at him, I'm so amazed.
He's on We Got Married, too. Just so you know.
I cannot
believe
it. I
don't know why. Why they put him with a girl that's younger than him.
That's another girl from
Blackpink. I don't know. Like, I mean, in terms of her, I'm glad they brought her. She was definitely going to be on the show with a girl in her age group. With a guy in her age group, sorry. Because usually she would get a dude, like,
he looks like a girl.
Isn't no, that's not even. Thinking? I was thinking. I said her, and I'm talking about her, but I was still thinking about him. That they put her with someone in her age group is usually young girl gets really old guy, and that's all kinds of creepy. Like Harry and Tony, which I'm still not used to. That's a real thing. So weird.
Did we even discuss that?
I think
that
we mentioned it as rumor, but it's true, in case you, for some reason, weren't aware. But, I mean, good for both of them, I guess. But it's just like, it's We Got Married, not little kids are dating for the first time. Because they both lie and say, I've never been with anyone. I've never even kissed a guy. Sure.
That's funny.
But yeah, SHINee, if Why So Serious is for you, good. It's not for me. I still like Onyu. He's still awesome. Everyone.
It's okay. The song is okay, but it's not that great. It's, you know, it is bordering on J-pop styling, but the surprising thing here is that I don't like it, if that's the case, right?
Yeah, you think.
I guess it just... Yeah, I guess it just reminds me so much of Dream Girl, which reminds me so much of Juliet. So, yeah, no impact at all, but it's there, it's pleasant, I don't hate it. I could just listen to it and not have a reaction, so that's good, right?
Yeah.
It could just play in the background, and I won't mind, that's okay.
It's like, I'm not going to yell at you turn this song off, but I don't care that it's on either. The next song is 4 minutes. What's Your Name? Produced by Brave Brothers. I remember we were talking last time about how Brave Brothers has been like his name is mentioned in the song, so it's like it's obvious that it's him. But like how he's been changing up his sound and all of that in response to the critics.
It did change. And you know what, people? I don't really care what you say about 4 Minute. I don't care what you say about them not being a top-tier girl group. I don't really care because I like the song and I like 4 Minute. I am proud of it.
I mean, there are several things they do right in this video, not least of which have zombies dance for no reason in the video and the song together. One thing they do right is they have Ji-yoon rap, which I haven't heard in a while. And I'm surprised that it still sounds pleasant to my ears. Hyuna does not rap in this song.
Thank goodness,
she sings,
right?
She's not bad at rapping, but there's an oversaturation of Hyuna. So it's cool that her parts in this song specifically are stripped down. Ji-hyun and the youngest member, whose name eludes me right now, they still aren't prominent in the song, which is fine. Ga-yoon, her solo part is beautiful. It it's kind of like in the breakdown part, and it doesn't really it stands out from the rest of the song because it's not in the same tempo, but it sounds really nice. And the part that Hyuna does is the bing bing part, which was like, I was listening to the song and I was just like, oh, it's okay. And then that, and I was just like, all right, sold immediately. And then they had zombies in the video. And I was like, this is just a cheap ploy to get me to like this, but I'm going to fall for it again. Because when it comes to 4 minute, like, I just, and it's weird because like, it seems like everybody else, those people that probably wouldn't consider themselves a part of the 4 minute fandom, but there are times that they have liked the group. It seems like everybody else has this like really high, lofty expectations of 4 minute and how they should sound based on, I guess, music. Because I don't even know what they would be basing these ridiculous expectations on. But like, people were upset with Volume Up. And they're like, that song was terrible. And I was like, what? This song is awesome. The rest of the album,
the saxophone bits is good.
Yeah,
right?
it was the downside of that song was that I think McGroth made this criticism that for a song called Volume Up, it does not sound good when you blast it, which is it's like a weird mixing issue with that song. Like the sound engineer really fell off with that. That might be how they wanted it to sound, but like,
don't turn the volume up, okay? That's a warning.
And you know, their styling has always been good. Like, I can't think of a time when I was like, oh my god, why do I have them in this crap?
Wait, styling, let me rewind, okay? Remember what? Styling for a minute, the only thing that I hate about this is what Yuna is wearing. Why the hell does she have like her underwear outside of her shorts? I don't know. What is it? It's bike shorts.
Because it's Hyuna. She has.
It looks like
she has to
right?
drop it low, and it has to be revealing. So, like, it's one of those things. Just became background noise to me. Like, if I'm gonna be participating in the enjoyment of 4 minute, I also am explicitly participating in the enjoyment of Hyuna dropping it low, because that's what's gonna happen in every video. And like, it kills me because like, people are complaining, and I'm like, dog, this has to be a running joke at this point. Like, she's gonna do the exact same dance move. You are gonna complain about it, and it's gonna happen again in the next song. So just get used to it.
I'm not complaining about
the dance moves.
It's so ugly.
I don't mean you. That's like the general.
Mm. Yeah, but the styling, she just take off that weird fishnet bike shorts thingy. I don't even know what it is, okay? Cut off fishnet stockings over her really short black shorts. It looks like underwear. So ugly. Thought of it. Think about it. I mean, look at the video, okay? Watch it and see what I'm saying.
So,
I like it.
The next video, Noelle doesn't really care for, but I'm fine with it, is Entrain's Come Back to Me, which is like their third major single.
I don't like it because I know they can do better.
They can sing better. Like, I think even the arrangement
song.
Of their, I still think their first song, the first song was good in how it immediately hit you in the face with their vocals. But I think it was really their voices that elevated that to a song we liked rather than the production of the song itself. Yep. So I think they have never really gotten an awesome song from a technical standpoint. But I think this song is, if they're definitely going to be going along the lines of electro inspired as everyone else is doing, then this is a step in the right direction compared to their previous songs. But it's still lacking a lot of punch. The choreography is just the most simplistic thing I've ever seen. It's like, and I think these guys,
you know, and train our singers. They're not dancers.
They can dance. I swear I've seen dance videos of them, so I don't understand. High points of the video, Soul J, yes indeed, is included in the movie, has gone nowhere. And he's shirtless and oiled up for some reason.
Anyway, the next song is really good. This is a very good debut from Low End's boy group. This is their first boy group, and it's called Dreamer. The song is called Dreamer, and the group is History.
it's surprising because I'd never heard of them.
It's a different, I don't know, it's a very different song that came out in the midst of all these electronic inspired songs in K-pop. So it does stand out. And Son Dambi's in the music video, and they're wearing suits and they're on stage. Yes, she's the chick there. That's her.
I mean, I stopped watching like halfway through once I realized that, you know, I liked it. Because there's a lot of stuff I still have to watch, but wow.
Son Dambi's in the video. Yep. And they're performing on stage, kind of like old school Broadway, right? With the word rumor behind them. Pretty good. And the music video is fine, but it is good, but you know what's better? It's how they sing. It's their voices, and it's the actual song.
Yep.
That's what's...
So I can... So they had this group of instant fans.
I was one of them when I first heard the song. I liked it straight away. So good for them. Good job, Loan.
Yep. So, I guess ran over history. Ladies Code released a ballad called Won't Cry. It's notable because Ladies Code can sing really well. And...
Mm-hmm. They can sing very well.
We covered them before, and which Noelle did not remember. But the video itself is just like kind of like live footage.
It looks cheap. It's like live footage and outtakes of their music video, the one that we covered before. Because I saw some of the guys in the music video before and in the music video now, and they can sing. The song reminds me so much of 90s pop. I don't know. It has this old school vibe to it.
It's a thing old that's coming back.
Hey, that's good. I like it. I'm not complaining. 90s was so pop for me.
And 90s
pop music is awesome.
Since we mentioned Tiara and 4 in news, I was told that we had to talk about their music video for Jungwon Diary or Jungwon Ilgi.
Wow. I was told.
Yeah, you were told. You told me that we had to cover it when I was just going to pretend it wasn't a thing that happened. So I sat down and watched the video, which upset me because I was trying to avoid knowing about it. It's very colorful, very 90s hip hoppy in terms of the brightness.
It's very messy.
She didn't like it.
Okay, one word.
Zico's older brother is the featured rapper in the song. So,
he's older than Zico?
By like a year, I think. Not that...
This song is very messy, right? But the surprising thing is that it's produced by Double Sidekick.
I think it was what they wanted.
Yep. They were going for messy, much like, what's that Girls' Generation song?
Girls' Generation.
Oh my god. What's that?
The one with Snoop?
What's that song? Oh my. I got a boy. No. I got a boy. The one with, it's like five
the
different
one with
songs
Snoop.
In one.
I think so.
That's what
Snoop? Or is that the new song?
Isn't
yes,
that
it is
the
boys with Snoop. I'm sorry. It's practically the same title.
Yeah, the new song. The new song, I Got a Boy, it's really messy. But I think this is what Tiara was really going
for.
So
call it messy. I don't think they were going for messy. Okay?
What were they going for? Complicated?
I'm sure they were going for hip-hop inspired.
Okay, hip-hop inspired, okay? With air quotes around inspired. Or hip-hop. But yeah, I guess some people like it. I don't. But why are we talking about it? Because we have to, because Tiara still has fans.
Wow, that's just terrible. No part of that was nice. Okay. What I was actually supposed to do, since they are a subgroup, which some people may not be aware of, I thought it was important to note who was in the group. It's the people you would think.
The
Hyomin, Eunjung, Aurum, who is one of the newer members, and that's not what you would think. And Damn it. Jiyeon.
Who's that other? Ryomin, Jung, and Jiyeon. Yeah, the popular ones. Plus Arum, because she's the trainee, much like Danny, the new ones. So. And it seems that, you know, everyone a reason for hating them. But it's true, though. That's what they've been saying. If you look at the news articles, all you see
What happened, obviously, was everyone can identify with bullying, unfortunately. It's a very widespread problem. Mm-hmm. And to see that kind of play out in the national media, on stage, in front of everybody, and to see the irresponsibility with the Twitter accounts that you would think that it's an okay thing to do. Yeah. You can see why people would not like them. I think, to a degree, I won't say what they've been receiving is undeserved, but it seems as though there's definitely an agenda and a need to, like, spread hatred of the group whenever there's a news article about them, which isn't necessary. And hey, they have that in common with Chris Brown, because every time he does something, people remind you that he's a thug and an asshole.
But yeah. You know what's funny? He still makes money. NTR still makes money. So good for
hopefully
them,
right? Both learn that they need to be better people, though.
Mm-hmm. They have resilience, and they have the
problem. The problem, though, with them making money is that the usual reaction tends to be, "Well, screw everybody that doesn't like me. Like, I'm still making money, and they're not." And that's not really an attitude that's conducive to growth.
True, but yeah, I mean, every time you see news articles, all you see is, you know, Tiara hate. Sometimes it's uncalled for. It's just too much, really. I mean, it's like people can't get over it. It's old news. Basically, you click on Tiara articles just to read the comments. You don't really care about whatever is written there. Just go and read the comments. Look at the people shitting bricks about this. That's what happens. So anyway, we're going to move on to the next song, which is Jay Park. And the song is called Welcome. And this is a scandalous music video, Betsy.
I kind of feel like I didn't need a music video for this song. Like, I like the song. It's very R&B, sexy. The video would have been sexy if not for, like, me being entirely thrown off by his unattractive tattoos. I'm sure they're meaningful and they mean something to him and he's proud of them and he likes the way his body looks and all of that. But I could do without it. And hey, I mean, if he's going to cover his body in tats, that's fine. He's just like, just obscure the ugly ones so I don't have to see them.
Yeah. But the song is nice. I like the other song better, Joa. This song is good. It, you know, like what he said earlier, he has this Miguel vibe going in this song. And I like how songs right now are going back to how it was before. Old school R&B-ish. Love it.
So the most important comeback here, which is kind of sort of like a teaser comeback. It's like the first song and then the album's going to come out in like 3 weeks. But Lee Hyori's song Miss Korea, which is very stylized black and white video, has a very old school look as well. So clearly it's a throwback thing they're going for.
Yes, most definitely. And it's not your typical Hyori song, mind you. If you're expecting something boppy and
it's a self-written song, and a lot of the songs she's written, which I'm sure is like four at this point, are very meaningful is not the word I'm going for, but very introspective and kind of downbeat.
Maybe it's personal.
And sort of away from what you would tend to expect from her. This song, it started to raise some sort of discussion, though as soon as I saw the discussion, I just, like, noped right out of it and muted the person who was talking about it, because I didn't like the road it was going down. Also because I hadn't seen the lyrics, but
why?
The song is kind of about beauty standards and the idea that any woman is beautiful. And the person was saying, like, how is Hyori the person who, when you look at how she's built her reputation on her looks, and has endorsed tons of cosmetics and high cost expensive brands, all designed to promote this idea of beauty, like, and I was just like, it upset me in a way, and I was just like, this is Hyori, so I'm taking it too personally. But at the same time, I think it's a really interesting thing to talk about, like.
Why? Okay. Is it because she's not ugly that she can talk about beauty
You
standards? Is
remember,
that
like,
it?
the thing, you remember when we talked about, when
So
4 Minute
stupid.
did Ugly? And I think I said something to the effect of, I don't think they were the group to sing this song. And I don't remember what my full argument was, but I think that's how some people may feel about the song. Like, she's not the person that should be writing this and kind of like talking down to people who she's probably one of the reasons why they have complexes about the way they look, because she is literally an impossible standard of beauty. I think we all agree, even if she doesn't agree, that she had her nose done. But everything else is
True.
apparently her. And it's not like she wasn't pretty with the previous nose, so, but at the same time, there's always things that we're not aware of. Like, it's brought up, but it's always like played off as a joke. But early debut in Finkel, like, she was subjected to a lot of colorism and the idea that because she was darker
Yeah, because
skinned, she couldn't
she's
be pretty.
darker than the
And
others.
so while we as international people are looking at this and like, you people are crazy, like, this girl has always, from if you go all the way back to when she was 19 or whatever in Finkel, it's like, this woman has always been gorgeous. Y'all were just blind to it. But I think the same way that a person could struggle with other people's, because the last part of the song is about other people's perception of you. And when you're trying to live up to this beauty standard that is often unfair, obviously, because the beauty standard is basically put there by people who have no idea what it's like to be a woman and no idea the damage that it does to your life, striving to reach a goal you can't reach. Because basically, if me, you, anybody decided that we wanted to be as pretty as Yori, it would cost us tons of money and probably wouldn't work out the way we think, and it may end up inflicting serious harm on our body because of multiple plastic surgeries. And
Surgeries,
I think there's the
yeah.
two sides to it. Like, as a guy, which is what this person was who was talking, like, looking in on the whole situation, yeah, it could seem kind of crass and callous to like make the kind of statements that you're making in this song. And it's something that, like, go ahead.
But oh, hang on a minute. Who are we
Yeah.
to judge in the first place, right? Because this is her personal experience. This is personal for her. Maybe she feels ugly. Maybe she feels that, she needs to live up to a certain impossible
Yeah, and
standard of
maybe,
beauty.
like, even though someone
Her things are
is, like,
personal.
everyone has those moments where they do not feel beautiful, even though we would think, like, there is no way people who are supermodels would ever feel ugly, but you still get a lot of, it's like a constant thing where you have people who usually after they've left the modeling world, sometimes while they're in the middle of it, they're just like, there are times when, like, I don't feel skinny enough and I look at myself in the mirror and I see an ugly fat person and you're just like, when have you ever been ugly or fat? But beauty is perception. Beauty is what people tell you. Beauty is how you feel about yourself.
Or maybe look at it the other way around. Maybe she was writing it for the
It could be
girls
two
who
ways.
feel
It could
so,
be it's a personal thing
not good
from
about
her,
themselves.
where she may not have felt good about herself, and this is obviously a very kind of self-inspired kind of song, like giving confidence to yourself, as well as it could be written for the girls that look up to her and all of that, who at some point it's almost an inevitable thing. Like, you're not gonna, it happens to both men and women and people in between. Like, you're not gonna feel good about yourself. There are days when you're gonna feel awful and look awful, and someone may make a single wayward comment that they may not think about at all and send your entire day and almost life crashing. And it's hard to feel good about yourself on those days. Right. So this may be the kind of song that you can listen to and hell yeah, I could be Miss Korea or whatever. Why not? So the next song is Geeks Wash Away. It features...
I like it.
Yep. And it's probably Ailey, like right? a situation, this is the way I'm going to imagine it, that develops out of their cover of Heaven last year. Like, you like me as an artist. I like what you do with my song. It's cool. We should work together. It did Wash Away together. It's a really beautiful sounding song. I almost said surprisingly beautiful, but it has Ailey in it. And Louis Sings, who's the first guy, the taller one, in the video. It's...
And you know why I'm happy about mm-hmm. this song before you go on? I'm happy because it's not another cover of Officially Missing You.
They've been releasing other songs, you know. There's Officially Missing You single had other songs on it. But this is a part of their release, Backpack, which I've kind of been slowly checking out. But you should definitely pick up that album and listen to it. Geeks is another one in the tradition of rap duos. Which seems to be the only way that the mainstream is kind of like accepting a rap group. It has to be two people. So check out Geeks. They're awesome.
They're good. And it's not the
same. Still sounded nice. Two PM released the song ahead of their album and released the song together with the album. We can talk about both of them at once because I don't have time for 2 PM. the first song is
Okay, it's Come Back When You Hear This Song. Okay, I came back. It was fine. And then, you know, I heard the JYP whisper, but it's quite discreet. It's like a subliminal message. Because, you know, I was looking at something else. I was talking to UD, and I was typing on Skype. And then I wasn't really paying attention to the song, and then I heard JYP. Oh, my God, subliminal. Oh, my God, so subliminal. But the song is... Yeah, okay. The other song is a lot better because the other song is called Ad Toy. Right?
It's like All Day like Thinking of You, which I have here. It's like, it's a lame version of Adidas, which is All Day I Dream About Sex, which is awesome. But in terms of comeback when you hear this song, there are some things that I had a problem with right away. The distribution of lines in 2PM has always been ridiculous. From debut, Junsu apparently only had an ad lib in their first song, which was like or something like it's like how you useless. Have this guy who's clearly the best singer in the group and you just relegate him to doing nothing, which is what basically what he's doing in Comeback When You Hear This Song. And Junho as well, like the song is basically split between Wooyoung, Chansung, and Nikkun. Why?
Wow.
The three of them are singing in the song, and they're singing the majority of the song. And it's just like, okay, Wooyoung, I sort of get, because he has JYP's voice, and there's always going to be that favoritism, but Chansung cannot sing live. Neither can Nikkun. Wooyoung is unstable live. Why are we suffering them by making them sing? Like, could we just have them in, like...
I don't know. Maybe he plans... a bigger song or something that has more runs for what's this other guy's name?
It Jun-su? Never happens.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I feel like
maybe he's experimenting, much like what he did with the Wonder Girls and Sohee, right? So he got a lot of lines.
They split the verses between Sohee and what's the girl's name? Thank you. Between Sohee and Lim, which makes no sense to me. You have two good singers in the group, like how you do with 2PM. Why are you letting the bad singers, like the bad singers should be doing narrations and background ad-libs that you don't hear, and they should dance on stage, and you have the singers sing like they're supposed to. But 2PM has been, I feel like they've been mishandled, I think from the beginning almost, but they had songs that I liked back then, so I ignored it. And then Jay left, and the whole dancing thing fell apart. So there had to be an image change for the group. And I don't understand why they didn't go in the direction of pushing Junsu and Junho forward in terms of singing, because who cares if they're not the best looking members of the group? Like, the other people can be on variety shows and what's not, and host things if that's what you need to do. Like, if the pretty people have to be focused on, do like Super Junior and have the pretty people appear in everything and have the singers sing. Distribute properly. Like, if I had my way, 2PM would be Junho and Junsu singing, occasional feature rap verse from Taecyeon. Chansung can do it once in a while.
Taecyeon has
The other two
improved,
can just
okay? His rapping
dance.
has
That's what
improved.
y'all need to do. All Day Thinking of You is better, like you said. The rap is featured more prominently in this song with both Chansung and Taecyeon doing it. I don't really have a problem with Chansung rapping anymore at this point. I would definitely prefer he do that than sing. I don't know how good he is rapping live, but it's less of a train wreck than him singing live.
We'll see.
So.
That is so true, though. That is so true, D. And I have a feeling that this All Day Thinking of You song would sound really
It's
good if you crack
possible,
it up.
yeah. The next song that we have to cover, we
Yeah,
kind of made
what's
fun
up?
of this, the existence of this as a subunit. Yukis's subunit, U-Beat. I
Yuki.
surprisingly enjoy Should Have Treated You Better.
I like it.
Because
Yeah, I liked it too. I don't know why. Maybe it's because we like
And Kevin has so
underdogs
much of the
or we
song,
like
and I
Yuki's.
like Kevin's voice. This is basically the equivalent of
Yeah.
Sistar 18, 19, sorry, of Sistar 19, where the songs are like 3 minutes of Hyorin and then like 15 and a half seconds of Boruto. And that's pretty much what we have here. Eli and AJ both have distinct rap verses, and AJ sings for part of the song, which is nice because you know he was in Paran, which is what was definitely a vocal group. His voice didn't really leave an impression on me at the time, but he's really good.
So yeah, this is a good release. It's mid-tempo, R&B-ish, but you know, I told D earlier that if UKISS released songs like this early in their career, I
Definitely.
guess they would have been more
But they didn't
popular
have
now.
the group members to be able to do it early in their career, so.
That's the sad part. I mean, you know, if we just rewind and choose, you know, if we started choosing better members, then yeah,
Remember,
I
when
guess
they
they'd be popular
debuted,
now.
AJ was in a different group, and no one knew who Hoon was, so.
That's so sad. Yeah. Too bad, so
And
sad. That's
our
life.
favorite artist of
Okay.
all the artists born in 1989. Is it 89 or 88? 88, I think, is Yoon.
She's 88. Yoonha. She is back. She's back with her
Just
album.
listen.
I forgot what it's called, but her song is called The Reason We Broke Up, and the video has that dude in Bridal Mask and Full House 2, Park Ki-woo, or Park, I forgot his name. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Park Ki-young, I think. But yeah, the good looking guy. He's the evil
Kiwoo.
character in Bridal Mask. There you go, Park Ki-won. Thank you. He's really good looking. And
Well,
it's a breakup
duh.
song. Wow.
But it's really, I think it's sort of mid-tempo.
It is. We get all the sad
I
songs,
kind of
right?
love
All
it.
in one go from Yuna. I know you don't
I mean,
listen
I
to
don't
songs
listen
like
to
this,
breakup
D.
songs in general. Ballad breakup songs, really. But if it's a mid-tempo pop rock inspired breakup song, hell yeah.
Yeah, this is a good song. And the album is good. Go buy it, folks. You know, Yuna needs her support. She needs to be more popular, okay? She's a
And
very
very
good singer.
versatile too. And she does a lot of the writing work herself, so. The last song we're covering is
That's right.
B184's new single, What's Happening. And I mentioned to Noel before we started recording, it's a very B184 song. It's both visually and audio-wise really cutesy and
Sounds
fun
fun.
and energetic
Yeah,
and
it sounds
catchy.
fun. But B1A4 is not my thing, though.
Because
That's
it's
the
just
sad
like,
part.
I think they and Teen Top have this in common, that I think they're better vocally than Teen Top is, but their songs always sound like they're missing something. It's like, it's either they're missing something or there's a misstep that's preventing it from being a truly great song. But I think, in terms of all of their previous singles, aside from the one that was written by Wheesung, which was phenomenal, I think this is probably one of the best so far. In terms of progression and how it
Really?
sounds, I think it is. I really do like the video because it's wild, and there's a couple that have on Ken and Barbie masks, and they beat the Ken guy up for some reason, and then they start beating up each other over the Barbie doll girl. So I don't even know, but something about it.
Those
They
Barbie
are
doll masks are
their
really
facial
creepy,
expression.
though.
But I really like the concept of the video, and B1A4 always looks like the entire color palette threw up on them. And so their styling is always kind of weird, but I still like it for some reason.
Now, this, I don't know,
Do like
you like
instantly.
B1A4, right? But still. I mean, they're meh
That's
for me. I don't know, no reaction. It's like, again, like shiny with their song. I don't mind if you're playing in the background, but I'm not gonna stop you, and I'm not gonna scream at you to just, get that thing out of the CD player. I just won't mind. That's how it is. So anyway,
just the last song. Oh,
what now?
we're gonna take a quick break,
That's it.
and then we're gonna
Take the
come back
break.
with
Yeah.
Free Talk.
These
And
songs.
it's a topic that we've visited
We
before,
talk.
but it just seems like people still need to get yelled at about it.
Again? Again, I'm sick of this, but okay. Reminder, it's our public service announcement time again, right?
Yep.
Here we go. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back.
Either you had artists that thought it was perfectly okay to perform in blackface, so, like the Bubble Sisters, who later dropped that from their act. Or you have people that think it's cool for there was skit comedians. I think Lee Kumi Jerry was one of them that performed in blackface, and where you now have celebrities, actors, idols that are appearing in sketches on variety shows in blackface. And then you have today, the most recent incident with Yesung from Super Junior for their most recent tour, I think Super Show 5. They've been doing a sort of superhero motif feature, focusing mostly on the Avengers. Spider-Man and Wolverine are included because in the comics they are technically also Avengers at times. And then there's Goku and one of, God, what's his name?
Who?
Chinese martial arts actor. Not Jackie Chan. The other big one.
Bruce Lee?
No, not a dead one.
His name is Rome Must Die, dude.
Jet Li. Yeah, it's a Jet Li character. So you have this, and in this assignment of parts, I don't know how they distributed it. Yesung is Nick Fury, which is fine, right?
Yeah.
What was not fine was that he elected to take to his Twitter account and post a picture of himself in full blackface as Nick Fury.
That's really stupid.
And he said something to the effect of basically, like, Nick Fury is here in Korea to the rescue. Haha. And what happened was the guys were talking back and forth between themselves about it. They thought it was hilarious. One of them, Ryuwook, put it up as his Twitter profile face picture. So that was really kind of disappointing. But it continued to raise the discussion, again, of blackface, the cultural relevance of blackface, the fact that, you know, it was historically primarily an American thing, but that does not excuse people from, like, you're using it to portray an American actor, right, who is old enough to know about the history of this coloring your face to be a black person thing. It has its roots in a very, very racist practice where you diminish black people to either stupid or as suck-ups to Massa or to the white man. And, like, that's kind of the opposite of where Samuel L. Jackson has been going with his career from the beginning, even though, like, in Django, he played a particularly vicious form of the Uncle Tom house slave stereotype. But you have legions of black fans.
Oh, not, that's the sad part.
Not
I have
all
a question,
of them.
Though.
Yeah,
he
ahead.
Just did it in Korea, right?
It doesn't even.
He did not perform on stage.
I don't know. I don't know whether the blackface makeup was used on stage.
Okay. It doesn't matter where he did it. But,
or
you know,
it was just a picture. But yeah. There's another photo of him on stage in the outfit without the blackface and without the ball cap, but still dressed as Nick Fury. And that's the argument people were trying to get everyone to understand. Like, the same way that Siwon played Captain America without dyeing his hair blonde and without lightening his natural tan, and the same way Kangin played Thor, who is a Norse character who is like the whitest of the white, again, without lightening makeup, without even his wig matching the color of the dude's hair.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do...
Look at Shindong. Green, of course, it's incredible.
But he didn't even do his hands green. But all you have to do... And they have Hulk hands, like, you even have to paint them. But it shows, from looking at the other characters they did, that if you wear the costume... And
costume.
You have
that should be enough.
The parts of the character that are instantly recognizable. Like, even if, say, people didn't recognize Nick Fury from the eye patch, the beard, and the ball cap, if you're hanging out with Thor, they'll probably be able to put two and two together as to who you're supposed to be. And there's an argument because, again, like I noticed, nobody lightens themselves to play white characters or to play lighter skinned, because in the case of anime, light skinned Asian characters, nobody does that. But for some strange reason, when there are minority characters, like Latin American, African, Indian characters, people feel the need to, hey, let's darken ourselves to be the character. Or if there's a character that's more visibly Asian, as opposed to anime, where they don't tend to be, there are people that will put on face paint, and there are people that will pull their eyes back and all of that. And then you have situations like what happened in Cloud Atlas, where you had a white actor, and another one may have been Halle Berry, I'm not sure. But Jim Sturgess definitely wore prosthetics to play an Asian version of himself. And then you have further incredibly racist instances of it happening before, with Mickey Rooney's character. And it's just, I don't understand how, on the one, you'll get upset about yellowface. It doesn't happen as often as people doing blackface, but it still happens. And you'll get upset about the picture of, I think, Miley Cyrus and her friends pulling their eyes back.
Oh yeah,
You'll
that
get
photo.
upset about these actors wearing prosthetics instead of them hiring Asian actors to do the reincarnations of themselves. But you'll say to people, when they get upset about blackface, that it's just a part. He's just being the character. Like, I literally saw someone say that a costume cannot be accurate and perfect if it's a white person or Asian or whatever playing a black character and they don't wear the makeup. And
Wow.
I was just, how? Like, how blind do you have to intentionally be? And not intending an insult to blind people, but how obtuse and lacking in understanding and empathy do you have to be? Because, like, it feels like, look, there has to be a class on this, because it keeps happening. Every year, there's a blackface
Someone does
incident.
it, right? Yeah, someone does it, and they should have learned their lesson by now.
The other
It's
person
sad
got
because you
yelled
know what,
at by
T,
people.
you're right. You're right, because this is an American thing, and you know that for Korea, they're a very close country, and it's just now that they're becoming global. And I guess the reality hasn't sunk into them yet that being global idols, being global icons, that they have to be more responsible. They don't really care about those things because really their main market is Korea, right? And it just so happens that they became popular outside. Of course, they're pushing their music outside of the country, but of course, they did it without thinking about the culture.
Yeah, and of course that's the we criticize them when they go to Japan for the same reason, or probably because there's this effort to adapt to the culture. I think when they enter the Chinese market, but it's not the same with Japan, and they've recently changed their outlook on it because of backlash they've been getting. Where, okay, look, you have to sing songs in the language. Look, you have to adapt your music to meet the market, and you have to be responsible, respectful, and an understanding of the culture if you're gonna make any money in this market. And like, the international fan base has basically proven, look, you don't have to bend over backwards to please us. Like, you could release the songs in Korean, we don't care,
Doesn't
we love it
matter.
anyway, but there's certain behaviors, and I kind of wish I'd remembered to send the messages out earlier so we could have gotten responses from people. But this is the point where I will welcome you. When this had the night this happened, when I noticed, I sent out a tweet saying that, look, clearly there needs to be some sort of PR seminar for these international big Hallyu icons, and for the people that are next in line, you have to be taught what is okay to do and what is not okay to do, because obviously you're not getting the message. And while you may think, and it's possible that you're this naive, but I don't think you are, you're older than I am. Again, I'm not an American citizen. I grew up in the US. I did spend some time there, yes. But I learned as an adult how harmful blackface was. I mean, I do think that we need to put together a package of some sort,
We do,
and send
yes.
it to people because they're not getting
Special
it.
lessons, yeah. Because you know what, the Korea may appear developed. Like, you know, it's a fully developed nation. They have a lot of money, and they live in big cities, and, you know, the cityscape is, it's just very well developed. But the reality is, this is just a facade. This is just right for show. It's right in front. Because you do know that they were backwards before, right? When was the Korean War? 50s?
50s, yeah.
Yeah. 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and look at them now.
I know it's a country that's coming out of a military dictatorship. It's a country that mm-hmm. has only recently, 50 years is recently, has only recently opened up to the outside world. You don't have a lot of diversity. You're not getting a lot of foreign implants from outside of Asia, while you do have Asian migrant workers and such. It's not a large group of people. It doesn't seem that the country necessarily wants it to be a large group of people either. You have issues with foreigner marriage. You have issues with children being half Korean, half whatever it is.
Still stuck in that era, right? Even if they may look physically developed, the country looks physically developed, but their mindset is still back in whatever time. It's a matter of growing too fast, too soon.
And to avoid utterly making excuses for them, there are European countries that we've been considered developed for hundreds of years now. Y'all have always been first world, that have been carrying on traditions that are profoundly offensive to people of African descent. Part of the Christmas celebration in the Netherlands involves a character that's usually played by a white person in blackface and usually portrayed as of lesser intelligence. And it's something that people have complained about, but because it's tradition and we've been doing it for so long, you few people that are upset about it need to shut up and just do it and just go along with it, or ignore it if you can't deal with it. And of course, that's an expression of privilege that you would not consider how people feel about it. And again, this is another situation where I wish we had more feedback, because obviously, like, you can only address things from your culture, and I can only address things relating to my culture and my race in terms of what we need you to stop doing. And it would be awesome if we had a way to put together a package on, look, this is where you guys have made mistakes, and this is how you can avoid making mistakes in the future. This is what's going to lose you a lot of fans, especially. This is the kind of thing. Like, obviously, we're not at that point because you're not promoting in majority black countries. And in the United States, the black population is about 12.9%. The places that you're going aren't necessarily majority black states, and it's not the group of people that typically going to show up at your concerts. But this kind of thing, if done to other communities, is the kind of thing that would get you barred from entry to a country. So in some places, this could be construed almost as hate speech. And hate speech can definitely get you banned from coming into certain countries. Ask certain reggae artists with homophobic lyrics that aren't allowed to travel to the United Kingdom and other places.
It's like, they get to travel, right? And they have Super Show and they take it all around the world. Shouldn't they at least find out the customs and cultures of each country or wherever they're going? Sure that they don't step on anyone's toes.
You'll go so far as to learn greetings in other languages when you pop over to Indonesia, when you pop over to Malaysia. You'll go so far as to learn that. You're aware, with those two examples, I think both those countries are majority Muslim.
Yep,
so true. You're aware that there are certain things you can't do on stage and stuff like that. You take the time to research these things. So it shows a profound lack of respect, almost, when you don't take the time to research. Like, look, Ki Gwang did it on a variety show. You can say that the producers didn't know any better. He didn't know any better to say no. There's other comments he's made that seem to underscore the opposite. But that happened. Shindong wore blackface to be Oprah. That happened. That's a member of your group. There was a backlash.
There's another guy.
Boom did it also to play Stevie Wonder. There was backlash against that. Tasha spoke about it. She tried to be diplomatic, I see, but she also tried to express that this is a thing that's not only hurting people within your own country, because you have people that were born there, that have grown up there, that are half black, half Korean, and that are seeing you do this to them.
Remember the Saturday Night Live incident before the...
Yep, with the Dreamgirls skit. Like, you have all these things that have happened. There has been backlash. Maybe you haven't personally felt the backlash, mm-hmm. but it was Super Junior's name that was dragged through the mud when it happened with Boom and when it happened with Shindong. And I don't know if there was any fallout in the Korean on the Korean netizen side of things. And the lucky thing for you when you don't speak English is when people tweet you complicated, angry things in English, you can ignore it.
Yeah,
and it almost feels like we have to out you and take it out on you, because A, you're one of my favorite members of Super Junior. You're one of the better singers. You've kind of carried the group vocally for a long time. And it's happened before in your group. I feel like you should be better than this.
You know what? I think this is why he's like that. Even if it happened before, they didn't really care about it.
Yeah.
The black backlash didn't really reach them, or they just ignored it. Or it doesn't matter to them, because, you know, again, we are not their main market, right? But they make a lot of money off us.
That's exactly. It. Like, we're the people that are more likely to buy the albums. But
that's right.
So I feel like definitely some of the things that have to be taken into account, and the question here for this free talk is, if you were in charge of the mandatory PR seminar on cultural sensitivity, what would you push forward from your own culture or the predominant culture of your country? Because you could be living in a diverse country where you're not the majority. What would you want them to take away from, as, look, hey, this is what you should not do? Or, hey, when you come to our country, this is what you should do? Because it doesn't always have to be something negative, as in don't ever do this. Mm-hmm. But it can be something positive as well. And one thing I think that should be taken away is there's obviously a love of hip-hop worldwide, right? There's a love of the fashion, there's a love of the artists, there's a love of the music. But I think there, in all of that, there needs to be sort of a focus on the activist side of hip-hop and what hip-hop has meant to people.
Since it
began, because a lot of the people that are pushing the hip-hop side of K-pop, and this is mainstream, because I can't really speak for the underground people because there's very little translations of their stuff, but the people that are doing it in the mainstream, yes, there's mainstream hip-hop that raps about stuff that doesn't mean a damn thing. That's true. But I feel like you also have to acknowledge the side of the culture, and the other sides of the culture. Lord knows I can't remember all of them. Hip-hop, graffiti, MCing, graffiti, DJing, beatboxing, breakdancing, and I feel like I'm missing one. But there's six elements of the culture, and it feels like I kind of need you to embrace all of it. And if you don't embrace all of it, acknowledge all of it. Mm-hmm. And there are parts of each element of hip-hop that really do exist in the Korean street culture. Like, it really is beautiful how far around the world hip-hop has spread. But I don't need you to just say, like, I like black music, because that still sounds weird to me. Like, black music...
Yo, you could just say, I like hip-hop.
Because that's what you mean. You don't mean that you like R&B, you don't mean that you like blues, you don't mean that you like jazz, you don't mean that you like early rock music. That's not what you mean. You probably don't even mean that you like R&B. You mean that you like rap, and that's fine. But say you like rap. I don't like that black has been synonymous with rap in that way, that it's black music.
I don't know why they do that. I mean, it's the way it was image.
I think it's the way it was talked about when it started emerging. I don't know what that was. A lot of the faces of the people involved obviously were black. And to this day, a lot of the more powerful people in the face of the industry are black. And that obviously gives the idea that it originated with black people. It gives the idea that only black people can do it, or only black people are good at it. And because the reason why I don't like that is they'll refer to someone on a variety show of having the soul of a black person
The soul of a black person, yeah.
or the voice of a black person, and I don't like that. Which
I can
is
understand why you don't like
a
it, yeah.
personal thing, and other people may not feel the same way, but that always makes me uncomfortable when they say things like that.
It is, you know, I may not be black, but I know it can make it uncomfortable because it comes from a very personal place. And of course, you know how it is with history, right? So I can understand why. And I suppose they should understand why this makes people uncomfortable. But then again, they don't really care.
Yeah, I
They
mean,
lack the
because
sensitivity. And we need to change that, right?
when you're just appropriating from a culture, like there's no reason to look into the significance behind the things, the words that are used in the traditions. There's no reason to look into all that when you don't care. You're just using it to be popular. But
You're just using it to milk money off people.
when you genuinely care about the movement or the people, because some people do say that they love black people, when you genuinely care about that kind of thing, then you would take the time to look into it.
I love black people. You know, that's the thing. And I actually, I love people of all races. I don't have a preference. You know, if you're good to me, I'm good to you. And if you're a friend to me, I'm a friend to you. But, you know, and of course, if you're making money off me, I should be good to you. I should be more careful of what I do, right?
Yeah.
I should be more understanding. That should be their mindset. Okay? They want to go on global concerts, they want to go on world tours. But what? Do they really understand where they're going, and do they really know the people that they're going to sing for? Do they have an understanding of the culture, is what I'm trying to say.
And I think part of the problem too is because as international fans, we're so divided by country lines, by ethnic backgrounds, by races, by languages. Because we're so divided, we can't have a united front. Because as you can see with every blackface incident, you have 15% of the people saying why this is wrong, while 65% of the people shout them down and 10% don't care. So it's unwelcoming in the community that the community doesn't try to care about our issues. Look, we're all ostracized when you look at it from the other side. When you look at it from the Korean standpoint, they don't necessarily care about any of our opinions as long as it's not the opinion that you love them and you're going to buy all their stuff. Beyond that, it
Yeah.
doesn't really matter. So we need to be united ourselves and think, like, look, this, what you did, hurt a member of our community, hurt people that are in your fandom, hurt people that are registered members of your fan group. Okay? We need you to really and truly apologize and be a voice in K-pop telling people not to do this. Because, I mean, if it's just Tasha, if it's just people of African descent, oh God, what's her name?
Who?
Big famous singer, it's been singing for like 30 years.
Inshuni.
Right, if it's just Tasha and Inosuke, as much sway as they may both have, it's only African descent people that are reacting to this, or people connected to them, like daughter, husband. That's all that's reacting. Nobody's gonna care. You have to have members of the majority group that are saying, look, this behavior is not responsible, it's not kind, it's hurting other people, whether we see those people that are being hurt or not. And I just wish that the level of consideration to make sure that you're not going to offend your Korean fans, you make sure you don't offend your international fans that are also spending money. Obviously not in as visible a way, because they're not going to be able to go to your concerts all the time. They're not going to be able to show up at Music Bank or Music Core or Inkigayo or M Countdown or the other small shows and cheer for you. They're not going to be able to show up other than as flash mobs to show their support. But you have to be considerate of everybody. And again, I wish we had more perspectives, and I really hope people will see fit to email us their perspectives
Yes.
at the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast at gmail.com,
I didn't. Yeah, go ahead, D.
Or if you want to leave us a tweet, like Ashley did, who she mentioned blackface.
Yeah, the same thing.
There's never an excuse. There's never a good reason. Don't ever do it. Facebook.com/AirKpopPodcast, as well as Twitter.com/AirKpopPodcast, or you could leave a message underneath this post, which is going to be at airkpop.com. I feel like it's a conversation that needs to keep happening in the community.
God, D,
It
it
needs to be
does, it does.
visible.
Actually, you know what? I feel like it doesn't need to happen again because we've gone through this so many times. That's why I'm not talking anymore because I'm just so pissed off again. You know, my good morning has been ruined. Thank you very much.
It's not just the artists that we need to convince. It's the international community. Like, you need to be convinced. You need to understand that this is a bad thing. On the one hand, it's obvious that's an educational failure. This is something that was happening in the early 20th century, the late 19th century.
They
It's
should know.
something
But
that
then again, don't you think that they should be aware by now? Because how many times has this happened and how many times has there been backlash? But I guess before the backlash didn't reach them, but in the case of Saturday Night Live, it did reach them and they apologized. First time, right?
I think they only apologize because it's an American brand, and it reflects poorly on the whole brand when something like this happens, especially since
Yeah.
SNL is a part of the New York landscape, and New York is a very diverse community. New York City is a very diverse community. It has a lot of African Americans, there's a lot of Hispanic Americans, there's a lot of people from the Caribbean and Africa and all over the world, really. So you can't have something like that associated with your brand, which is probably where the apology came from. But
Really, well, I hope
like I
that's
said,
not the case. I hope it's sincere, okay?
and
That's what I
the
want.
blackface thing is part of the problem. Like I said, is the worldwide level of the problem, that so many people don't understand why it's negative. And that definitely is an education issue. A lot of the old Disney stuff that was super racist and had the super over-exaggerated black features and all of that, had the insensitive portrayals of black characters. A lot of that stuff has almost been systematically erased from visible culture. Like, it's not something that you as a non-black person would be aware of, and a lot of black people aren't aware of it because of where they originated, because of who their parents were, because maybe their parents or grandparents never had to deal with it. Or because they saw that the world their kids, grandkids was growing up in was different from the world that they're growing up in. They don't want you to have to know about that hate because they don't want you to have to be angry over something you have no control over. So there's a lot of people that just aren't aware of why it's offensive and hurtful, and because they're not aware, will continue to argue that it's not offensive or hurtful to anybody, and you're playing the race card and you're making a big deal out of nothing. But what I don't understand is, if people keep getting angry over it, why do those same people that are arguing to say it doesn't mean anything, why won't you Google it? Like, why won't you look it up and say, maybe there may be something to it? Or if you really want to tear down that person's argument, why not research their side of the argument? If they're saying blackface is hurtful for these reasons, why not Google it? Because if you're trying to shut down their argument and you're not just trying to get them to shut up, you'll look up the other side of the argument and say, okay, here, this is why you're wrong. This is why the very foundation of your argument is wrong. But obviously, there's a lot of people that aren't educating themselves. And that responsibility is really on all of us. Because 5 years ago, I would not have seen why this was a big deal. Today, I can. And
That is so true.
to everybody that's listening, I really challenge you to, if you don't understand why we're talking about this, why I get angry, why people like Ashley get angry, why other people that have talked about it on Twitter get angry, even though we like these artists. We're not getting angry because we hate them. Because if we hated them, we probably wouldn't be upset at all. It would probably just be like, yeah, of course this dick did that. He's a terrible person. Like, we don't necessarily believe they're terrible, awful, racist people. We probably believe they're products of a system that doesn't generally value people not of their ethnicity or their experiences, and so they don't have an understanding of why something like this is bad.
That's right. It's the understanding part, and if it's an understanding, if it's an understanding issue, then it has to be an educational issue, right? Roots, okay. So the best that we can do is to let them know why it's hurtful. It's just because they don't do it. You have to tell them why it's hurtful. You have to do a lot of explaining. You know, it's going to be painful explaining why in the first place. And so you have to educate yourself and then educate others.
The other reason, too, I think it has to start with the fan base is, look, the blackface stuff was in English. You're more likely to understand the context and the nuances than someone not of this culture who doesn't speak the language natively. They're not going to understand as well. Like, they probably think it's hilarious because it looks hilarious.
No, it's not.
Not the wearing of face paint. I mean, if you look at the actual performance art, the audiences were laughing, right? Mm-hmm. People wore blackface in front of black and white audiences. It was seen as high comedy at the time. So
at that time,
without,
what was that time, right?
Like I said, late 19th, early 20th century, but without the understanding of everything that was going on at the time, without the context, it could literally be seen in the 21st century as, look at these silly people that didn't know any better, and this is funny. So I that's why I feel like the international fans have to learn this, and they have to put the pressure on their idols, whether it's the group of international fans that speak, understand Korean fluently. They have to be the ones leading the charge, or however we're going to figure this out. But blackface definitely is one thing that should stop happening. I can't remember how many incidents there have been.
Any cultural appropriation has to stop.
Right. Also, the Native American thing, we absolutely, absolutely.
God. How many times have they done that? Tiara,
MC Hmong, Indian boy.
And what else? I'm not going to say after school in the night sky. No, it's, or can I say that?
Well, if you wear headdress. a headdress is enough. But and I think, again, that comes back to the dominant culture of the United States. We do not value it. Native American experiences are not highly valued. They're not a highly visible people. I read an article the other day where the owner of the Washington Redskins franchise said he absolutely never, under no circumstances, would ever think of changing the name of the Redskins, which several tribes have contacted him over the years. There have been petitions, everything, with people saying just how offensive the name of the team is, as well as the logo. And when you see something like that happening, like this team has been around almost since the beginning of the NFL, and they've had a racist caricature of a Native American man as their logo for a long time. They've had a hate slur as the name for a long time. When that's seen by an international audience, and you've seen Native American characters portrayed as white people in headdresses and face paint, like, the message is gonna be mixed to the international audience that does not speak English, that does not understand. These people have been oppressed and exterminated and systematically denied human rights, and their kids have been murdered, and their language has been stolen. Like, you don't understand all these things because, again, education, and then the way it's being portrayed by the media. You're gonna make mistakes, and I understand, Korea, that you're gonna make mistakes because the dominant culture in the country is happy portraying the people this way. But if someone contacts you and tells you that this is hurtful, I love your group, I love your artists and your music, and I don't want to stop listening to you and supporting you, but if you continue doing this, I will. Because to me, I feel like if you're losing fans in a situation where you're already scrambling for them, if you're losing fans over something that doesn't have to be done, you're making a fatal mistake as an entertainer. It's not as though Tiara wearing headdress and dancing around a teepee, that doesn't have to happen. Him wearing the black makeup to play Nick Fury isn't a thing that has to happen. They could have picked someone else in the Marvel Universe. It wasn't necessary for, I mean, even if he really liked the character, it wasn't necessary for him to be Sam Jackson as Nick Fury. He could have been the white Nick Fury. All kind of things could have happened because there is a white version of Nick Fury that was the original incarnation of the character. These are things that don't
He
have to
was
be done.
thinking. Yeah,
And
you're right, D. It does not need to happen. It should not have happened in the first place. But of course, it happened because they simply do not know. I'm not gonna say they simply do not care, because if they know that they're hurting people, and with what they're doing, I don't think they do that. You know, if they really know and if they really care. But it's simply it's because that they don't know. They don't know any better. That's a sad part, right? After everything that we've said, after everything that we've done, if no one goes up to them and tells them what they did wrong, then it's all for nothing, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're ignorant of something, you're gonna continue in your ignorance until someone tells you, and it has to probably be someone that you respect tells you that,
That's right.
or someone that signs your checks tells you,
Or
look.
maybe so people who buy your music to get you money, to give you money, it's us, right?
I mean, you'd probably, and it's weird because it talked about, the article I read too talked about how criticizing blackface was seen as an attack on Korean culture. So it's weird also because we're an outside group, how people can rally together over something that's hateful, basically because they feel like you're attacking them as a group. And that's why it has to be someone with a lot of market share, a lot of buying power, or someone that they respect has to pull them aside personally and be like, look, you are fucking up. Here's how you're doing it. Here's how you're eliminating. Because honestly, Psy is fine for now. But if something comes out in his past, something that he said, or something that someone else said that he hangs around, comes out and that's hateful and spread to a lot of people, and we know that a lot of our artists have these things in their past, your future, your possibility at a career outside of Korea could be torpedoed so fast. Someone saying something negative about Japan can utterly destroy their chances in the Japanese market. So you're sensitive to that. Be sensitive to everyone, because we all deserve to be treated like people.
That's right. That's right. You know, you just don't take preference over a certain group of people because they give you more money. Because in the end, people are people. You have to respect everyone in the first place, right?
And do better. Like, I obviously don't know the nuances of everyone's culture. I know you do a lot of work in South Asia, in terms of touring, not necessarily in terms of catering albums to them. I don't know if songs are cut depending on cultural, religious rules when you release records within the country, but you're showing consideration by holding shows earlier, if you're showing consideration by not doing the raunchy stuff on stage because you want to make the money from the people. Express that to your public life. Even if in private, like, I have no control over you, if it in private you make racist jokes with your friends, that I'm not exposed to that. I don't know what kind of person you are, but your Twitter account is followed by millions of people. That should be a clue that this public domain, even if you feel like it's private because you just talk between you and your 26 friends or however many people you follow, but millions of people are, 'cause celebrities usually don't
It's
follow,
searchable, right? It's searchable.
millions of people can find it. All K-pop writes
Yeah.
articles on everything you post on Twitter, every inane,
That's really
silly thing. It's terrible. It drives clicks. I hate the practice, but they do it.
It's a good thing, bad thing kind of situation here
Because
with
most of it is not
everything on Twitter is
newsworthy.
being posted as news.
Every time you
Yeah.
post a picture, I don't need a translation of it. But this is the thing that's gonna happen. Your every word online is gonna be digested and regurgitated and batted around between your fans. You need to be careful. Like I said earlier, I don't want it to get to the point where all of your Twitter accounts are run by your management, but the way you're behaving, it's gonna be there soon. your grown adults take some responsibility. Even if the 1.5 million people that follow you aren't all Korean, can't all understand Korean, Google Translate is getting better every year. It's getting closer in terms of free machine translation.
That's the thing. The world is getting closer each day. And, you know, if K-pop is to go global, they have to put these things into consideration. This is the first thing that they have to take care of, cultural sensitivity. And, you know, if they have plans of even going on a world tour, they should have special lessons just to make sure that they don't piss anyone off.
Yep.
Right? Or offend people. That's the first thing.
And please, when you come back, don't tell hilarious stories about your encounters with strange people of other ethnicities. Don't do that.
Strange people, right? You know, you have to emphasize strange, okay. Yes, and of course, I remember Seungri, right? Remember Seungri when he went to the U.S.?
Yep, for the first time.
He went to the wrong van. And there was a black guy there. He thought he was going to get mugged.
No, it was robbed. It was white people in the van. And his punchline was, thank God that it wasn't black people.
It wasn't black.
Or I might have gotten shot. Things like
stereotypes.
That.
Stereotypes. Oh my God.
You gotta be careful.
They've been watching too much TV or maybe too much movies, right?
Right. And obviously, inside the United States, minorities fight for better portrayal of themselves in movies, in TV shows, in music, because we understand that for a lot of people around the world, this is the only interaction you have with people of our different ethnic backgrounds and religions. Your country could be an English-speaking, almost completely closed-off country, although there aren't that many of them, in terms of homogeneity. I'm not sure if that's a word. But in terms of the race dynamics, my country is 80% black. That's an example. Even though we have all different ethnic backgrounds as black people, but that's our majority. So the only exposure that we're going to get to Korean culture is through what we see on TV, in movies, through music, just the same way that you get it about us. So you have to be careful about your portrayal of yourselves, because this is the, until we meet people that are from your ethnicity and your country, like, this is the impression we have of your country, just like the impression you have of ours. So
that's right. And you know, their impression is not good right now, right?
Right.
Not good. Let's not go there. But you have to be aware that people have very, very bad stereotypes of their culture.
And like I understand there are some people that shoot back when it comes to the debate about cultural sensitivity, that a lot of us as fans, we aren't really that interested in Korean culture. Do we say we are? There are some people that are learning the language, but we don't put the time into learning the history, learning how the Korean people were held down by both the Japanese and the Chinese, how there's bad blood between the countries. And the cultures, we don't know how, in terms of you have certain words that whose root are in Japanese or Chinese because of the interchange and to a degree the oppression between the peoples and how people were forced to denounce their original names and all these, there's a lot of ugly messes that we aren't aware of. And those things mold the country. Those things end up being why people behave the way they do. And on both sides, there's a profound lack of understanding. And there's also a lack of desire to understand. And we both have to do better. Like, you're consuming bite-sized versions of people's culture. Pop culture is really always the trashiest, worst version of a people's history and culture. And in the same way, we're upset because they're seeing everybody by this version of American culture that's on TV and in movies and in songs. It's the same way they're probably upset when we make judgments about them based on the few things we see in pop culture. So on both sides, we have a responsibility to learn more. Not necessarily to make excuses, but to understand why.
Yep, that's the hard part. You know, not a lot of people like learning.
That's true.
You just have to shove it in their faces.
But
I don't know.
If you love K-pop and you love these artists,
you have to.
Being Korean is a part of who they are. So you can, I mean,
You have
you
to.
can obviously never truly understand what being Korean means, but you can make an effort to learn.
Like, what about you, D? When you got into this, did you make an effort to learn their culture, or it just happened?
It kind of came with, and I won't say that I understand anything on a high level, but or even a mediocre level, but I feel like with true interest in something like this, in cultural exchange, like you study, you want to visit the important places in the country historically, you want to see the art because art is the immortalization of how people thought at times. You want to understand technological advances, you want to understand how science is viewed in the country and how they're trying to move forward, the system of government, the fact that they could fight in parliament. Like to that to me is amazing. But and it obviously is going to go with what your interests are outside of K-pop. Like if you love history naturally, when you get into K-pop, you're going to go straight for the history of the country of Korea. But
Mine is different. It's food.
well, food is a part of culture, yeah.
I'm not much of a history buff, but I love food. So, my interest in culture, really, if apart from K-pop, it is the food. That's it. When I first got into K-pop years ago, I didn't really care about much of the culture. Actually, I didn't care at all, right? Because, I just got bits and pieces of songs. I was an SES fetish. And back in the day, it was so hard to view performances and get music because we didn't have YouTube back then. Remember, kids, this was what? 90s, okay? The 90s. If you watch Reply 1997, imagine how slow the internet was. It wasn't even DSL before. Okay? It was 56K. I think that was the speed back then. 6 kbps.
Could have been
It
28.8, because that was a thing too.
Wow. Imagine how slow that is right now. And I don't think anyone has ever. Oh, but anyway, forget it. But as I was saying, I wasn't really interested in the culture at all. But as time went by, I could have liked the history, though I'm not much of a history buff. But I gravitated towards the food. So that was what I was looking for. Food, 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 food. And of course, you get to enjoy the entire culture if you especially watch dramas and if you watch the TV shows, you get exposed to a lot of different things. So the food and music opened up a lot of things for me. So I made it a point to try and get to understand why they behave that way and why people are acting a certain way. And just a general understanding is what's needed. I'm not saying that you should be scholars, right? You should start with something that you like.
And a lot of things that with Twitter, there's a lot you can do. There's a whole community of English speaking Korea bloggers. Some of them are expats living in Korea. Some of them are Koreans that were either educated outside of Korea or just have a strong command of the English language, that they write about things going on in the country. The way people feel. Just the same way that you have bloggers within your own country that you like and you follow, you have people on Tumblr that you love that talk a lot about social justice, or that may talk about government style or whatever it is that you're into, raising kids, food bloggers, like all of the stuff is going on. And if you're truly interested in the country, there's a huge resource of people, a wealth of people you can follow. Whose articles you can read, whose blogs you can follow. I know that I don't know why I forgot the name of his website. James Turnbull.
Oh, Grand Narrative, yeah, our good friend James Turnbull from thegrandnarrative.com. Yep.
You can follow him on Twitter. I think he's at James Turnbull. This is very simple. He tweets a wealth of articles from a whole
Yes.
different range of bloggers. Even if you don't subscribe to his blog, which it seems like he's slowing down on updating and all sorts of stuff, but if you just follow his Twitter account and you can find other people from just one person, and read the articles that interest you, the writers that interest you, follow those writers so you can get a wider picture of what's going on and why people behave the way they do. Because yes, the artists that are dressing in blackface, the producers that are telling them to do it, the people that are pushing for it to happen, they're all wrong and they all need to be educated further, but it's on us as well. We also have to be educated about things that are offensive to Koreans because, you know, you're
That's
tweeting
right.
at people every day and you could be inadvertently saying or intentionally saying something that's completely hurtful.
Yeah, that's right. You
That
might
doesn't
be
just,
offending them.
because when you talk about a whole people group to insult one person, like you're insulting everybody that can see that. And that's not fair. So
That's true.
if it's going to be
That's true.
true cultural exchange, we both have to
It
be interested on both sides of it.
That's right. It's a give and take kind of relationship. Okay, much like most relationships in this world, it has to be give and take, right?
Yep, or it's just one person taking advantage.
Yeah, that's nasty. All right, I guess we're done with free talk.
Yep.
So what's next, D? I know we have voicemail. Is that right?
We have a voicemail that, thank you for reminding me. I did remember earlier in the show, but I was gonna get carried away just now.
This is awesome. Like, you know, this is awesome. This is the first voicemail that we got. And I don't even know what it's all about, and it scares me at the same time.
Neither do I, but I'm going to attempt to play it right now so we can talk about it. And if you're interested in leaving a voicemail like this person has done, the phone number is 954-324-7722. 954
Again, it's 954-324-7722.
which
Wow, I'm good.
is an American number, Florida, Broward County. So charges accordingly. One is the country code for the US. To
Nine
get.
five four is the area code.
Yep. So if you're calling from within the US, obviously you don't need the country code. But if you're calling from outside, it's one. All right.
Hi, this is Taylor, and I'm leaving a voicemail for the Always Rational K-Pop podcast. Hey, Foxy Brown. Hey, Noelle. One, I'm a really big fan of your show all the time, like, all the time. Anyways, I was listening to your latest episode, and you guys are talking about the VIP tour. I just couldn't help but, like, call in right there, because I just happened to be going, and I'm just super excited. You guys thought you were going to try to kill my joy a bit, but it's okay. I just heard your opinion. One, why do I think that VIP got the tour before Secret? I think that boy bands are more popular than girl bands. They have an overall appeal internationally. I feel like 80% of K-pop fans are probably females, not males. So it makes more sense to put on, to let boy groups tour before girl groups. Also, they're massively successful. These shows all sold out, like, in under an hour. I know for the DC show that I'm attending, it was crazy. Like, stuff was crazy trying to get tickets. So I think they're really popular, and I believe it's going to be a great show. Also, I have a suggestion for another podcast. I would love to hear you guys' opinion. I think you might have talked about this in the past, about what you think about idols going into acting. I really think it's kind of weird, but I'd love to hear your opinion. Okay, I don't want to make this voice go too long. Thank you. Love your show. Bye.
Wow. Can you play that again? What tour was she talking about?
Sorry, I have to switch my microphone back and forth
Yeah.
so you could hear what I'm listening to. But she was talking about the BAP tour. That part was kind of muffled.
Oh,
But she was
yeah.
talking about how we said, like, it's kind of ridiculous that they got their tour. I mean, I understand the point that she was making. Like, girl groups are not as popular among girls as boy groups are among girls, especially when you have six tall, handsome guys.
VAP.
They are popular internationally. I think we acknowledged that in the episode.
That's right. That's why they're going on a world tour. And I was just concerned about their songs, okay? They
Yeah.
don't have enough songs.
Well, at this point, I think she's already been to the show. I think
It was good.
those.
Did she, yeah, I think
I mean, I
she
don't
will,
think
yeah.
there's a follow-up yet. I'm sure she will after. But thank you for your call, Taylor. Definitely.
Thank you.
It's not that we're knocking BAP. Like, it's a group that I liked initially. Then the songs got kind of samey, so I stopped paying attention. I loved Jeb Blackman from his old days.
Yang Yeong-guk.
And the more he talks about how much he loves black people, it's like no wonder you decided that part of your name should be Black Man. But it just When you look at it, Wonder Girl's got a tour before 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. So it's obviously it's a company thing. You would be surprised how many male K-pop fans there are. They just won't talk about it.
Yes, and that is so true. And you know why they're fans? They're not there for the music, okay? Most of the time, it's not the music. Maybe these female fans are like that as well. But yeah, there are a lot of male fans.
There's a subsection that are only there to ogle the pretty boys. In terms of the other question that she threw in at the end there about idols trying to be actors.
We discussed this before.
For some people, it's obvious that their intention was always to act. Being an idol was to get their face and name out there.
That's right. I guess I would cite an example, Yui. I think she was really meant to act. She knew she's not doing a bad job as an actress. And, you know, when she first got into after school, she immediately got acting offers, right?
Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. She's tall, she's big eyes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the way the industry is right now, for you to be able to make it, you have to get your face out there. And the easiest way for you to get your face out there and your name known is to go down the idol route. You don't really have much of a choice, right? Because sometimes it's so hard just being an actress or an actor by itself. It would take years for you to get an actual break.
All right. And of course, there's always the downside of it. There's actors that have worked hard for many years that lose out on roles because they have to go to idols because some idol has to get a part. There are people that are obviously talented that probably, had they not been an idol, they may have still been acting. There was an issue like this raised. Somebody stuck a microphone in Samuel L. Jackson's face years ago when he was, I think he was appearing with, it may have been DMX in a movie, DMX or Eve, I don't know, but those were the two rappers at the time that were acting, and they asked him.
Wasn't
that
Exit Wounds or something?
May have been.
Yeah, DMX's movie.
They asked him how he felt about rappers acting, and he went off because he felt like, again, there were actors that went to school to do this training that they paid their dues, scrapped their way from the bottom up, and weren't getting connections because, hey, we want a rapper for this role because rappers are huge right now. Or in the case of, to an extent, Disney. Britney Spears got her movie Crossroads as a highlight as the lead actress because she's a huge singer. It's going to sell.
What about Rihanna, D? What's that shitty movie she starred in?
She didn't star in any movie.
Okay, fine. I felt like she was in a shitty movie.
She was in Battleship. Yeah. She probably had like 27 lines total. She was not the star of the movie.
Okay,
but
sorry about that.
They used her image. Yeah. To appeal to her fan base to try and get people into a movie they wouldn't normally go to see.
And that's how it is with idols and acting, right? It's the same thing. Producers would cast them because they need the image. And, you know, they bring in a lot of money, a lot of sponsors, sales, broadcast ratings. That's how it is. And that may be unfortunate, or that may be fortunate for the fans. It may be unfortunate for people who genuinely like actors.
Because, actors have their own big fan bases, too.
Yep. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Some actors are shitty, which is sad, okay? Not some actors. Some idol-turned-actors or some idol-wannabe actors are shitty. I'm going to name one, and I don't really care what the people say. You know. Dongbang Shinki, you know?
Yep.
Please, okay? Heading to the Ground was a disaster. Why did he had to get another acting role in what's that drama just recently? Yawang?
Because money. And because his fan base is huge and they will support everything he does regardless of quality. So,
but then again, everyone is so unhappy with the way he was acting, right? I don't think that was a good idea.
I mean, there's the hope that, you know, with all the work he put in the middle, that he's gotten better and will continue to improve. The only problem with idol acting is that with very little experience, they will get lead roles. I don't have a problem as much of a problem with them getting secondary, tertiary roles, support characters. I think that's where they should start. Like, that's you shouldn't, like, in some situations, you have one secondary role, and then you're the lead character in every show ever after that, unless you have a tremendous breakout role. Another idol actor, but people don't really remember that he was an idol, but No Min Woo, who used to be Rose from Tracks, he has done very well, but because he stopped being an idol, for one, and because he decided that acting was what he wanted to focus on, and put time, energy, and effort into that. And
another guy, Yoon Kye-sang from G.O.D.
Yep.
That's another idol turned actor, but then again, he stopped being an idol and he focused to acting, so he's quite good. And who else? There are other female idols as well who became, like Eugene, right?
Yep.
S.E.S. Eugene. She's okay. Not bad. And that girl from Baby Box, although she doesn't do a lot of... Yoon Ye?
Yep.
There. That's another one of those idols turned actors. There are a lot of these people. And right now, they're just getting a lot of flack because of all... the bad acting that we've seen from a lot of non-deserving idols who do get acting projects. And the reality is they are taking away from the real actors who studied hard and, you know, who get paid basically nothing if they're so unknown, right?
Yep.
They take away important roles, but the flip side is they bring in money. And that's why they're cast. So I guess we have to live with it. If I don't like it, I just don't watch it. There's really no point in saying such and such acting is shitty and, you know, just harping on about it. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Simple enough as that.
Yep, because if we don't support it, hopefully it'll stop happening.
Yeah. Because we have to deal with the reality. This is not going to go away. This is how it works, okay? Because this is money. Money is good. You know, these management companies need money, so they have to do whatever that they need to do. And if it means going into acting for the idols, then, you know, just have to deal with that. So be it.
So thank you, Taylor. I hope that was your name, because it sounded like what you said.
Yeah, Taylor. And yeah, don't worry, we're not dissing BAP. It's just that, personally, I'm worried about the songs, okay? How many songs do they have?
Email us when you hear this episode. Let us know what it was like for you, how much you enjoyed it, how many pictures you took. If you didn't take any pictures, which really you should do, because you want to
enjoy.
You could watch other people's fan cams later. Watch the show.
Yeah.
So you could email us, like we said, at thealwaysrationalkpoppodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Anybody who experienced a BAP concert, because anytime people get to have a K-pop concert in their country, I think that's awesome and they should talk about it.
Yeah, make us jealous.
You could give us your concert review there, or at facebook.com/airkpop, or at twitter.com/airkpoppodcast, or at airkpop.com, or like Taylor did, follow her excellent example, and call us at
voicemail
954-324-7722, and it's going to be there on the post, hopefully, if I copy it
properly.
Again,
it's 954-324, what's the number again?
7722.
7722.
In case you're wondering, it's 954-324-SSAA, just like in infomercials. So if you can't remember the numbers for the last four numbers, press the letter S, which is 7 twice, and the letter A, which is 2 twice. That's how I remembered it. Again, because we're a part of the SSA podcast network. I don't know why I said that twice. We don't have a logo. I don't know why we don't have a logo. But you can find us on ssanetwork.freeforms.org.
Why don't you stick our old logo into that? Come on.
No, I mean, like, why there's not a podcast network logo that we could have on the site.
Okay.
So it's obvious.
Yeah.
But that's probably something we'll get to. Contact us at any of these magnificent different ways. Emails are great because we can read them out. Facebook posts are great because it can create discussion among people who see it. Voicemails are great because you get to have your voice on the show for people to hear. And that will be immortalized forever. So if you sound great or if you sound ridiculous, it won't matter.
That's awesome, right?
We'll love you anyway, Colin. So thank you guys again. This has been episode 68 of the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast. I am Damon Dr. Foxy Brown.
And I'm Noelle. The show's a wrap. Thank you everyone for listening. So you guys have a great day, great week, great weekend wherever you are. Goodbye.
물도 끈 거잖아 넌 남아 소한 기후 변화에도 장마 내리는 것처럼 다투던 그때 비하면 많이 낮은 듯 보이지만 슬픔을 담은 하늘빛이 노래죠 심장 박동 같은 노래도 이제 세상 나를 놀래켜 돌아가고 싶진 않아 never 난 내버려두길 바랬던 이 전쟁마저 이젠 끝내고 싶어 forever 넌 속 오페라 될 수 없을 만큼 익숙했기에 쉽지 않았어 미지근한 일상으로 널 씻어내는 게 hey I'm not afraid to